Beginning in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week of January 17, 2004, this is the Rain Report. I'm Norm Seeley, KI7UP. Just a personal note before we get started that Rain founder producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, wishes to thank Todd Benson, W9YK, and the York Radio Club of Elmhurst, Illinois, for their hospitality during his visit and talk this past Friday. If you're in the Chicago area, dial up the 440 York repeater on 442 875 megahertz. It requires the standard Chicago UHF PL of 114.8 hertz. Hap is available to give his Are You the Problem or the Solution? No nonsense presentation to Chicago area radio clubs. You'll find his email address on rainreport.com. Now, to this week's Rain Report. Amateur radio is a hobby service that provides a variety of opportunities for teaching, mentoring, public service, disaster preparedness, and even contesting. In the spirit of the new year, here is part two of Contest Essentials for Beginners, an excerpt from a 2003 Hamvention presentation by veteran contester and public service advocate Mitch Stern, W1SJ.
Work out the station bugs before the contest or before field day or before the public service event. If the 15-meter radio gets into the computer or the antenna doesn't rotate maybe sometimes or whatever, or this kind of sort of works, guess what? When you really need it to work, it won't kind of sort of not work. It won't. And then you're going to really be upset, and it's going to really kind of wear thin on you that things aren't working. So, you know, you got a year in between the contests. You know, work these things out, fix them. And I'm the worst one. I have a whole list of things I should do, and it's usually 2 hours before the contest I'm trying to fix them. Don't do that. That's a dumb thing to do because it just gets you frustrated. After the contest, you don't file the logs away and forget about it. I like to play with computers. I look at the trends, how many contacts I made, where did I make the contacts. Sometimes I share information with other contesters. What did I do that worked? What did I do that didn't work? How can you get better? Now, of course, you can put up a bigger antenna, make the antenna higher, more power. That'll work, too. But I've reached my limit there years ago, so I have to work on being a better operator instead of putting in better equipment. Want to know how to be a good contester? Find a good contester and copy what they do. That's a start. I did that many, many years ago. You go to a field day where they have some very good operators, watch how they're talking to people, how they're using their voice, how they're listening. And don't get intimidated by it, because their skills have developed over many years. You're not going to get like that overnight. That comes with practice. So more contest skills. This is kind of like now just general boilerplate stuff. Someone challenged me in a contest, you know, and said, well, you taught me everything you knew, you know, and I got a bigger tower, so I'm going to beat you. I says, I didn't teach you everything. I reserved a few things. And some of these things I'm going to tell you, they're obvious, but I'm not going to tell you how to do them. And first of all, it's a different answer for everyone. But the first thing is know how to choose the strategy. Pick the category that's going to work for you, and that's going to come with experience. Know how to sound loud. This is how you sound loud, like this. You bring your voice right up, and you give it that rumble like you think, you believe, you are the loudest thing in the world. Believe me, believing is everything. If you sound it, and you have that sound of urgency, like, if you don't answer me, the world's going to end. People pick up on it.
Whereas if you kind of like talk like this and maybe you'll call me, maybe.
Not going to work. And I hear it. You know, sometimes somebody will be mumbling like that and they're just not modulating. And I'll get really mad. I says, come on, get the marbles out of your mouth. Scream that call sign. And then they get really, oh, and then they modulate fully and then no problem copying them. It really does work. Know how to hear the weak ones. How do I do that? You got to practice. Good set of headphones, know how to tune the radio, know how to use the filters. But that's the hardest thing to do. Anyone could sit and call CQ. It's hearing them, getting them in the log is the hard part. Know what to do when the conditions stink. Now, I know contests is, yeah, they do great. They get the runs at the start of the contest fine, and then the bands fall flat on their face, and so do they. That's when they say, bye, see ya, they disappear. At some point in the contest, conditions will stink. 80 meters will go long, you can't talk to anybody. On 160 meters, we've got an aurora. A high latitude thing. I'm up at 45 degrees. I'm halfway to the North Pole where I live. I was getting wiped out. Everyone's working to everyone, and they're not hearing me, and I'm not hearing them. And I stuck it out. 10 contacts an hour. It was terrible. And, you know, I just did everything I could. Happens. Know what to do when the equipment dies. Well, one thing you can do is cry a lot. But all the crying in the world usually does not fix the equipment. The first thing that does is have something else you can pull out of the closet and still get on the air. It won't be as good, but at least you'll be making contacts. Making 50 contacts an hour may not be as good as 60, but it's a lot better than zero. And, you know, you got to tough it out. It'll be harder to do whatever. And think of it as you are being tested. Your test, this contest, is to make do with the backup equipment. Know how to evaluate your efforts. Sometimes you have to think, I did everything I could, and that was the best I could do from this location, from the northeast, from the dead zone of Wisconsin. You know, they call that the black hole up there. Whatever it is, I did the best I could do. I made the wrong band changes. I should have done this. I should have done that. You need to look at that, and you can't get depressed. You just file it away and know better for next time. So contesting equipment. Put up the best station you can. Don't put up kind of a minimal thing, 100 watts or 10 watts to a wire hanging in the driveway and then cry about how you didn't work anybody. You got what you paid for. You can actually do quite a bit with 100 watts to a dipole high in a tree. That's not that bad a station. I have a tri-bander at 50 feet, which, you know, contests kind of laugh at me. That's a joke station. I mean, some guys wouldn't be caught dead unless they have a 150-foot tower and four stack Yagis. Well, that's not in the cards. But I'm operating at the best level I can, and you should too. You shouldn't be allowing for a station that's minimal because you're just too lazy. That's a bad reason. So the power and the big antennas, what that's going to do is increase your reliability. Anyone can get a good run of contacts. The people who win the contest are louder to more places at more times than anyone else. Now, a lot of that has to do with where they are. If you're in the Caribbean, you have a much better chance of winning than if you're in Ohio. That's true. That's the way it works. Contests are inherently unfair. However, if you're in the Northeast, you have a much better chance of winning a DX contest than if you're in the middle of the country. So it depends on which contest you're operating. Create a functional shack. If you have to kind of walk across the room to turn the rotor, or walk over this way to tune the amplifier, or if you want to switch antennas, you got to go into the basement, that's not very functional. Okay, it's going to wear you out. Someone laughed at me. My logging pew is in the shack. It's right in front of me, but the computer to my internet connection is in the other room in the office. And they operated one contest packet assisted, tried it differently. So to get the packet spots, I had to walk in the other room, and he made fun of it. I said, yeah, but that's not something I do regularly. I just tried that out once, and I wasn't too serious about it.
You're listening to Contest Essentials for the Beginner. From contest veteran and public service advocate Mitch Stern, W1SJ. Mitch will conclude this talk in a moment. This is the Rain Report.
You're listening to the Rain Report from www.rainreport.com.
This is one which I fall down on. Test all the equipment, all the antenna on all bands, not an hour before the contest, but weeks before the contest. So if something don't work, you have some time to deal with it. And you say, yeah, I tested it. It worked on 20. Well, what about on 15? Didn't work. So you've got to test all the combinations. Not only do you test the equipment, but you want to make sure there's no RFI or TVI. You really lose a lot of operating time having to go to the door and talk to neighbors about interference problems. I just put the big headphones on and I just ignored door knocks and whatever, but you can end up kind of getting firebombs thrown in your driveway when you do that. But you really want to get things cleaned up ahead of time, not having to deal with it on the fly. Test your station functionality regularly, particularly antennas age, things happen to them. You know, if something falls off the antenna or about to fall off, you want to kind of catch that before the contest or before the winter season when there's not much you can do about it. Now, a couple words on contest software. If this was like 20 years ago, contest software consisted of a pad and a pencil or a pen, and you just wrote the stuff down. And most people's logs, if you were like me, looked like the Dead Sea Scroll, and you defied anyone in Newington to make head or tail of them. And I don't think they read them very much. Today, everyone has slick software. You know, you log it in the computer checks it to see if it's a duplicate, it'll tell you how many multipliers, what your score is, what your rate, all this stuff. And the thing is, someone says, well, what software should I use? Doesn't matter. Pick what you're happy with. I started out with NA 13 years ago. That's what I've always used. I'm happy with it. Is it better? I don't know. Better for me, I guess. Some people swear won't do anything else but CT. Some like TR. Some use WriteLog, and there's probably a dozen others. The other thing is, well, my computer is bigger than yours. Not in contesting. You don't need that much computer resources. I got rid of my old PC XT only a few years ago. I'm now working on a 486. You don't need a lot of processing power. But what is important is the RF immunity. You don't want your transceiver talking to your computer directly via RF or vice versa. That's not going to work. In other words, every time you call CQ, it crashes the computer. You're going to be spending a lot of time booting the computer and not making contacts. So that's something that needs to be fixed. And all computers are different. We have a rule of field day. No computer comes to field day unless you pre-test it. Because you bring a rogue computer in there, it can start interfering with radios and you just have all sorts of headaches. So how do you know a program is going to work? You test it. You log hundreds of contacts. You make them up, make up different types of reports, whatever. You just want to make sure that the program is going to work. Don't take the vendor's word for, oh yeah, it works, it's been tested. Maybe for him it works, but you don't know if it works for you. When I first started contact logging in 1990, I was skeptical. I said, this isn't going to work. Computer's going to crash. It's going to be a mess. And myself and another guy, we put thousands of contacts into the log to break it, and we couldn't. And we've been using it ever since. One thing you should do is back up your log to somewhere. Hard drives do crash on occasion. You want to make sure that if that occasion happens to be during a contest, you don't want it to go down with your log. You want a duplicate copy of your log somewhere, even on a floppy disk. Or if it's a network set of computers, that works too. But you just want to keep, you know, a disaster copy just in case. Not only do you have a backup radio, you should also have a backup computer. Sometimes the computer will stop. Well, you say, well, I'll just log by paper and pencil. Well, I used to log with paper and pencil, and I tell you, it's no picnic. If you've never done it before, you're in for a real treat, I'll tell you. I mean, broken pencil leads and duplicate contacts, it's just not fun. You see this at field day. You see somebody operating the radio and someone trying to log for them. Total disaster. First of all, the person who's operating hears different stations than the person who's logging, and then they have to kind of get coordinated with each other. Doesn't work. If you're going to learn to operate, learn to log and operate at the same time. It takes a little practice because you're typing and you're talking. Now, you need a boom headset. A hand mic's not going to work if you're trying to type, right? Don't have enough hand. If you have a third hand, that's fine. Boom headset is what you use. You can type. Use the Vox to speak. Now you're totally hands-free. So here's the summary. What do you think the first thing on the summary is going to be for good operators? All best operators know how to listen. They hear it and they know how to copy it down the first time. It's called a set of ears. It's not uncommon sometimes if there's a real weak one, you can't pull them out. You have a second set of headphones and say, hey, I need another set of ears here. Help me pull this one out. Speaking or keying. Now, how many operate CW? Okay, quite a few people do. Nothing drives you crazy. A few times I operate CW, someone, I'll miss their call sign and I'll give them a question mark and then they'll send the call sign, but it was slightly different than the first time they send it. And I'll send a question mark and then I'll get another different version of the call sign and like four tries, four different call signs. I said, okay, can we go best two out of three here? Remembering, of course, if I put the wrong call sign down, I lose two contacts. If you can't send that call sign correctly 100% of the time, don't use the keyer. Hit the button where it sends it for you in the computer logging program. That's real important because you can drive people batty sending different call signs every time. Logging or transcribing the data, whether you're writing it down, typing it, or collecting it and giving it to someone else, you know, you can hear it perfectly. Perfect listening skills, and if you blow it in typing it or writing it down, it don't count. It's no good. So that's important that you have to be able to transcribe it. The fourth item, of course, is the setup of the reliable equipment. If the equipment stops, so do you. So you want to make sure that the equipment is reliable, and if something does happen, you have a way around it. The knowledge of the equipment, how it works, how to make it work, what weird things it does, whatever. And if you have a multiple operator situation like field day, and I've been burned on this, make sure everyone knows this information, like how to tune the tuner and the amplifier and all the little knobs in there and whatever, so that in 4 a.m. when they have to do it, they don't have to wake you up. How to evaluate and approve, whether it's a contest or a public service event or whatever, what went right, what went wrong. And then you write that down. Always write it. I have a big file, field day file, all the things that happen. And then I look at it. Because if you don't do that, guess what's going to happen? You're going to do the same dumb things that you did last year, this year. And you can say, gee, didn't we talk about that we weren't going to do this year? Important to do. Something we didn't mention, but needs to be mentioned, is You have to do this safely. Dead operators don't make a lot of contacts, at least not in this realm. So you want to make sure that the most important thing in any event is that you come back in one piece. And some of this stuff can be potentially hazardous with towers and antennas and or out in the field or whatever. So safety should always be a concern.
That was Mitch Stern, W1SJ, with some contest essentials for the beginner. Excerpt from his 2003 Hamvention presentation. You'll find many sources for contest information and contest calendars on the web. Just plug in the words Ham Radio Contest Calendar into Google or other favorite search engines. In the meantime, it's not too early to begin preparing for Field Day, Ham Radio's ultimate contest scheduled for the last weekend of June. If you've never participated in Field Day, it's high time you did. The Rain Report is copyright 2004, Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Norm Seeley, KI7UP, bidding you a very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network.